Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to welcome everybody that is online with us today. I want to welcome our folks down in Fredericksburg, and especially I want to welcome all of you that are here on our Stafford campus. If you are new to the Mount, my name is John Cook, and I am the pastor of Care and Counseling today, and I get to roll us into track number two, week number two of Manger Mix. And as you heard, the song that we're going to do is O Come All Ye Faithful. Last week when Pastor Adam was talking and he was giving us the history of the iPod, I was thinking, because I am a bit older than Adam, I think I graduated high school when he was born, and he was talking about CDs and this advancement from CDs to MP3s and all this, and I can remember when I bought my very first car stereo. Now, some of you are going to appreciate this. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back to 8 tracks. I remember that, the ka-chunk, ka-chunk. I understand that, okay? But my first major electronic purchase was a car stereo for my 1978 Honda Accord hatchback with the 2-speed Honda-matic transmission. I've lost everybody. It's okay. It's all right. Okay. But what was so cool about this, one, it had a tape deck in it for cassettes, but was really cool about this thing is that if you fast-forward it, it had a setting where you could actually listen to the radio while it was fast-forwarding. And it would stop at the next song and start playing. You didn't have to guess. You didn't have to, does this resonate with anybody? Am I that old? Oh my gosh, okay. He's talking about MP3. I'm thinking, man, I didn't have to take the tape out of the player and flip it over and stick it back in. The stereo did all of it. Oh, the glory of technology. And he's talking about an MP3 player, an iPod. Oh, anyways, I was sitting there last week and I thought it was funny how it took me back to when I was 18, 19 years old. And I'm a late adapter of the iPod, and now I can't imagine walking around through life without an iPhone anymore. But wow, isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy? Hey, week number two, we're going to look at this great song. It's called O Come All Ye Faithful. And just give you a little bit of history of it, this was actually written back in 1740. There's dates between 1740 and 1743. It was written by a Catholic priest. He was actually English, but he was in exile in France. And the original title of it, and apparently still in many of the Catholic churches that still use the Latin liturgy, they still sing Adestes Fidelis, which is the original name for it. In 1841, there was a gentleman by the name of Frederick Oakley, of course, the founder of Oakley sunglasses. No, I have no idea. 1841, but this Frederick Oakley actually translated it into English, and it's what we have come to know as O Come All Ye Faithful. In the first stanza of it, it says this, O come all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Now, I will tell you, this comes, and Pastor went through this last week. Used a passage out of this about Luke chapter 2, and it is the declaration of the angels coming and proclaiming to the shepherds that the Savior was born in Bethlehem. And so with that in mind, I want us to read this passage. If you've got your Bibles, I'm in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 8, and I'm going to read through verse 20. And this is the birth narrative as Luke gives it, and which is one of the most probably definitive and with the most explanation of the birth of Jesus. Starting in verse 8, chapter 2, Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It's amazing how whenever someone sees an angel, there is great fear involved with this. Every single time you read in passage, when an angel appears, there is terror involved. And I have to think, because it is just so completely overwhelming. But they were terrified. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, as she always did, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, when I think of this song and when I read this passage, the very first thing that brings me, this is not just a proclamation that the Messiah has been born, but I think this is one of the things, and maybe we miss this, but this was an invitation. It was an invitation to the shepherds to come and see Jesus. And I love how God always goes to probably the least of these. He never went to the king. He never went to anybody of great stature. He always went to the least of these. And if you are a shepherd in the time of Jesus, you are not very high on the totem pole at all. But yet, these men, these people, in what we assume to be in the middle of the evening, more than likely camped around some type of a fire, there is an angel that appears to them, and they are invited to go and see what has happened. It is an invitation. Verse 12, Luke says, and he was very key about this. He says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. It was an invitation to go see. Not only was it an invitation to go see, but it wasn't something for them to be just a simple, casual observer. See, the angels, when they came to them, it wasn't kind of like, hey, we're letting you know, and if you guys want to do anything about it, you can. Instead, what they were doing, they were invited, but they were also invited to participate, to now become and participate in the kingdom of heaven that had begun at that moment. When Jesus entered this history, when God left the splendor of heaven, put on flesh and came to us, and this is what this song is about God coming and putting on flesh and being willing to be born as a man into this world. These shepherds were invited, but they were also encouraged, it is your time now to participate in the kingdom of heaven. It is our opportunity as well to participate in the kingdom of heaven. Verses 8 through 11, This is what the angels proclaimed. This is what was written down. And there were shepherds lying in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you." See, what happened in this evening, in this particular evening, in this particular day, is that we all are given the invitation to not only come and see, but come and participate in the kingdom of heaven, because the Savior was born not for just someone else, but for us, for you and me, collectively, worldwide, historically. There is the world, and guess what? All of us are included in that. We get the invitation to not only see Jesus, but to participate in his kingdom. What an incredible thing. How many of you ever thought, now I don't know about y'all, all right? I didn't grow up in the church. I came to faith when I was 30 years old, and I got plenty of really bad stories. And there were some really, really, really bad ideas and really, really bad activities that I participated in. And for me to imagine that God said and God offers me and God allows us to participate in his kingdom is mind-boggling to me. As the psalmist says, "Who am I? Who is man that you are mindful of us?" And yet, he is. Scripture reminds us that Jesus knows us by name. Not only does he know us by name, but he knows every hair on our head. And everybody that's kind of thinning like me, we always go, well, it's getting easier and easier to count my hairs. Hey, gang. Everyone, Jesus is inviting us to come and see who he is, but not just to see, but to participate in what he is doing. See, when we sing about, "Oh, come all ye faithful, come and see, come and participate. Come and be part of the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't just end there. Not only do we get to see him, not only we get to participate, but maybe most importantly, we get to experience Jesus. We get to experience so many things on so many levels when we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. Things that we never thought could be, that would ever come to us. Last week, Pastor did such an excellent job of kind of parsing apart joy to the world. And one of the things that we get in Christ Jesus, and you've heard me say this, is joy is peace in the midst of chaos. And joy comes in Christ regardless of what our situations are. There is still an opportunity to find joy even when there is chaos that is happening around us. For those of us that enter into this relationship with Jesus, who participate in the kingdom, there is joy that comes, an inexplicable joy that happens to us, even in the midst of many trials. Just yesterday, I was down in Richmond. I was visiting a young man, a young Marine, who was in a freak, fluke motocross accident. And he is right now, he is about 4 or 5 weeks into recovery to where he hit, and I guess it's called what is a kick, for those of you. He came to a jump, and it kind of gets rutted out. And so as he started coming, he hit that rut, and the front wheel of the motorcycle came up, but then the back wheel hit that rut and it flipped it straight over. Long story short, the motorcycle fell on his back and he broke like four vertebrae, and right now he's paralyzed from the waist down. But what was amazing here was the joy that was still not only in his attitude and his voice, but the joy that he and his wife were going through. Now, there's a lot of questions that they don't have answers for right now. But yet, there was still some joy. There was a lot of joy and peace within them. See, when we're invited to come and participate, and then when we begin to experience Jesus, things change. See, seeing Jesus changes everything. The shepherds came, verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I cannot tell you, we talk about the iPad changing everything. We talk about the iPod changing everything. We talk about the cassette player that played actually the radio when it fast forward. I'm telling you that none of that remotely comes close. Any technological advance, nothing comes close to when we see Jesus. And when Jesus entered on the scene, everything changed. Everything changed. So that when we go to a funeral for somebody who has passed on, or a celebration of life is what we call it now, it is a celebration of life, because for those that are in Christ Jesus, guess what? There is no victory in death. There is no sting in death. See, victory has been swallowed up. It's been swallowed up in Jesus. Death has been swallowed up. The effects of sin have been swallowed up. When Jesus enters into this world and Jesus lives and dies, is buried and resurrects again, everything changes. Everything changes. And this is the beautiful part, is that God says, listen, I want you to be part of this. I love you so much. The angels proclaim, this is for you, and that is plural. It is second person plural, which includes us. This is the good news for us, is that a Savior has been born. Everything changes. Everything changes. Come and see him. Come and experience. Come and participate in the kingdom. And what I love so much about this is when the shepherds went and they saw and they experienced what was happening in Jerusalem, they were completely changed. Verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning. See, they could no longer keep silent about it. There is something about it when Jesus enters our lives, when we finally surrender to him and allow him to truly become Lord of our lives, there is a transformation that happens to every single one of us. There is transformation in our relationships. There is transformation in our marriages. There are transformations within our careers. There are transformations within with our parenting, with our children, with our grandchildren. There is transformation that happens and can happen within our homes, within our neighborhoods, within our communities, and even within the world for those that are in Christ Jesus who will accept him. What I love so much about this is when these shepherds, these lowly, dirty shepherds, were given the invitation to come and see and to participate, they were changed. They could not keep silent anymore. The message is too good. The message is too great. There is so much in this. We cannot keep silent. Scripture says if we keep silent, the rocks would cry out. They couldn't keep silent. And so they went and they had to share. Now, I will tell you, for all of us that have experienced the goodness of God, did any of you keep it just to yourself? I don't know how you can. Remember that time when you were baptized and you were shocked how emotional it was? You were shocked when you came up out of that water where you had declared that Jesus is Lord and that you were burying yourself, that the old self, just as Christ was buried, and then you rise to newness of life, just as Christ rose up, and you were shocked how emotional it was. It should be, because you were changed. Tell me you didn't go and tell somebody, hey, I just got baptized. And maybe you weren't doing somersaults to the people at work, but you couldn't keep it inside. Jesus changes everything. Oh, come and see. Oh, come all ye faithful. Come and see. Another thing that happened with these shepherds is that they just simply had to praise God. This is one of the things that I really like. The shepherds returned. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There's one of the things that happens to us when we experience Jesus. I think a lot of what God is calling us to do is not to leave, but to return back and be an influence within our small world. I call it our sphere of influence. We all have them. We all have our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our jobs. We have our spouses and our children. We have our families. And Jesus calls us, when he allows us to do this, part of what we're supposed to do is we are to return back to our little worlds and to proclaim him to all within that sphere. And that's what they did. They proclaimed Jesus, but they also began living a life of praise and worship. We talk about worship as something that we go to. We use it as a noun. Worship is never, ever, ever referred to as a noun in Scripture. It is a verb. It is action. It's what we do, and it's an outpouring of the joy. It is the outpouring of entering into relationship. It is the outpour of seeing. It is the outpour of experience. It's the outpour of accepting the invitation to participate in the kingdom. It is who we are. See, when Jesus transforms us, when we get out of the way and allow Jesus to really do what he is so good at, of taking things that are dead and turning it and giving them life, how can we not praise and worship? The iPod was a cool invention. It still is a cool invention. I don't have to flip out CDs. I don't have to worry about hitting a fast forward or return. I can simply push a button, and not only can I go to a new song, but I can go to a whole new artist, and it takes less than a second. Who cares? when Jesus is the prize. Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Now listen, we are a people that love to have everything sent to us. I know I'm not the only one, but when I do my shopping, the first thing I look for is this underneath Amazon Prime, because I ain't waiting more than 2 days on this. Okay, I'll pay the extra buck because that's a Prime member. He's not. See, we like stuff to be sent to us. We like to get it. We like things, Amazon Prime and FedEx, and we don't like to wait on it. We Uber Eats because I'm too lazy to get in my car and actually drive down, or heaven forbid, I actually cook something. Yeah. This is the one thing that we have to go and do. We have to, for ourselves, go and see and dig in. We have to accept the invitation. We have to. We get to experience Jesus. We get to experience Jesus, and we get to allow him to transform us. He gets to renew us. He gets to change us. And this is the kicker. We get to participate in what he's doing. Us. Me. Tell me that's not exciting. He wants each of us to participate in his kingdom. He expects us to. Jesus changes everything. Some of us, we accepted Jesus and there was this transformation, but somewhere along the line, sometimes we just get complacent and we sit back, and because maybe it's not happening the way we thought it should, or whatever your excuse is. And we're all guilty of this. So maybe this morning is one of those things. It's time for us to once again be faithful and go see. Let's go into the stable. Let's smell the smells and let's see the Savior wrapped in rags in a feeding trough. Understand that it's not just a baby. It's the Savior of our lives. Maybe it's time for us to go back. Maybe it's time for us to remember that we have an invitation. Maybe it's time for us to remember that we get to participate in this. And if that's you, I'm going to say, you know what? We're going to sing here in just a minute. I'm going to ask that you just confess that to Christ. God, I've been waiting for you to show up instead of me participating and walking side by side with you and watch what you're capable of doing. Because the reality is, as Scripture tells us, as John tells us, apart from you, I can do nothing. I can't do. That's a technical term. But there's also some of you that maybe you've never accepted the invitation. And so today I am going to, and I want you to hear this loud and clear. It is not John Cook that is extending this invitation. It is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that is extending this invitation to you. Come and see. Come and see. Accept. Will you accept the invitation? Will you come and see the Jesus, the Savior of the world? Will you come and experience who he is and begin to allow him to transform you from the inside out? And guess what? In doing that, you get to participate in the greatest mission of all time. And that is loving one another well and loving and worshiping our God. If you've never accepted the invitation, this is the invitation for you. And I'm going to ask that we would all just close our eyes and pray. And for those of you that have not accepted the invitation, this is your prayer. I'm going to just ask that between you and God that you would maybe mimic some of these words that I'm doing, but let it be something that comes from your heart. God, today I am giving up myself and I am accepting the invitation to come and see. God, I am a sinful person. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman, and I need a Savior. And I no longer want to run from the invitation, but I want to run to God. Show me the beauty of the manger. Show me the beauty of Jesus being born into this world. And God, today, I'm asking you to be Lord of my life, that I may see you, that I may participate in your kingdom, that I might live in fullness of life in you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hey, listen, with all of us with our heads down, our eyes closed, if you accepted this invitation today, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. I'm going to ask that you would raise your hand. Was that you today? If you accepted Jesus for the first time and you're accepting the invitation, we have people that want to get something into your hand because we want to embrace you and we want to encourage you in your walk going forward. If you've done that online or anybody down in Fredericksburg, we want to know about it because we want to fully embrace you. Folks, this Christmas season, in the midst of looking for all of Amazon stuff coming, this is what I'm asking you to do. Go back to the manger. Go back and see the Savior in the trough. What did he do to change your life? Go and live it. Thanks, y'all.